We are praying for mercy because Srimati Radharani, being the female counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is by nature very soft-hearted. And thus, she very easily gives shelter and very easily bestows mercy. And when her favor is upon us, then certainly Lord Krishna will bestow his favor upon us. And thus, we can attain pure devotional service, which otherwise is very difficult to obtain. Without the blessings of the devotee of the Lord, how can we ever attain the mercy of Krishna? Mad bhakta puja pyadika. One must worship the devotee of the Lord. It is then that we can attain the Lord. So we'll read some of the qualities of Srimati Radharani here. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, chapter 4, text 238 till maybe 262 or something. Krishna vichareke achay antare punanande punarasa rupe kahemore. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. Amaheta anandita hayatri bhuvana amake ananda dibe aicha konojana. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? Amir amahaite yarahaye shata shata guna sejana aladite pare munamana. One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world, but in Radha alone I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Srimati Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am the source for the happiness of the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis I find them contradictory. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani, but by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks it to be the sound of my flute, and she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for me. I've gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna, she thinks, so now my life is fulfilled. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna, taking the tree in her arms. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes the betel chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. Seeing the luster of her complexion, after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity and happiness. The sage Bharat has said that the mellows of lover and beloved are equal, but he does not know the mellows of my Vrindavan. The happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others. My dear auspicious Radharani, your body is the source of all beauty. Your red lips are softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. Your face bears the aroma of a lotus flower. Your sweet words defeat the vibration of the cuckoo, and your limbs are cooler than the pulp of sandalwood. All my transcendental senses are overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure by tasting you, who are completely decorated by beautiful qualities. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance, and her tongue hankers for the nectar of his soft lips. She hangs down her lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense, but she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. Krishna speaking again. Considering this, I can understand that some unknown mellow in me controls the entire existence of my captivator, Srimati Radharani. So, some of the points that were being made are that no one can give pleasure to Krishna in the way that Srimati Radharani can. Therefore, one who is trying to please Krishna understands that rather than trying to go directly to Krishna, that we must go through Srimati Radharani. But even then, how can we approach Srimati Radharani directly? That again is not so simple, not so easy. We may stand here before the deities of Sisi Radha Vallabha, and we may offer our prayers. But what guarantee do we have that our prayers will be answered? How do we know? We may believe, but how do we know? But we see that Sisi Radha Vallabha are always surrounded by their immediate associates, especially Lalita and Vishakha, who are their intimate servants and intimate associates, always assisting them in their pastimes. They certainly can approach Srimati Radharani for her mercy, because they are very close to her, these Astasakis. But so maybe we can approach them. But who are we? Who are we to approach these Astasakhi? How can we approach them? How can we approach Lalita Devi? How can we? Not so easy. Not easy to be done. But these Astasakhis are assisted. Assisted by many great eternally liberated devotees who are appearing in the form of manjaris, various gopis who are assisting the Astasakhis in serving Radha and Krishna. Amongst these Astasakhis is Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is an intimate servant of Lalita Devi. Rupa Manjari appeared in this world as Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami, how can we approach him? Again, very difficult, very difficult. Now he's no longer present on the planet. We can pray to Rupa Goswami, but how do we know that our prayers will be answered? How do we know? Very difficult, very difficult. But in the disciplic succession from Srila Rupa Goswami came Srila Prabhupada. And again, others come in his disciplic succession. And in that way, we can approach Srila Rupa Goswami through the disciplic succession. And in that way, through the disciplic succession of Srila Rupa Goswami, we can approach Srimati Lalita Devi. And in that way, we can approach Srimati Radharani. And in that way, we can approach Lord Krishna. In that way, as Gopi Bhartapada Kamalayura, Dasana, 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 as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, 100 times removed. Only then, can we actually approach. This is not commonly known. This is a great intricate secret which has been brought to us in this Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya through the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because otherwise how would we have known? We would have never thought of that. We would have prayed directly. We would have tried to push everyone aside, push as much as we could, and try and get as much up front as we could, push everybody out of the way, and then with lots of devotion we would have prayed, right, to the deity, yes, and thinking, I did a very good thing. But now we know that that is not a very good thing, because a much better thing is to serve the servant of the servant. It is in this way that we are approaching Lord Krishna through his perfect servant, Srimati Radharani. She who can give more pleasure to him than anyone else. Not, I will serve Krishna. Get your picture taken, me and Krishna. Nothing like that, but rather we are serving the servant. And in this way, today is a day which is focusing on pure devotional service. Because the service of Srimati Radharani is 100% pure. There is no question of any personal desire within her. It's very difficult to understand. Her only desire is to please Krishna. Still, as we were reading through these verses, apparently in some of these verses it seems that she also had some personal, strong personal desires. A strong desire to just enjoy with Krishna. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna. It seems to be about her. The enemy of Kamsa. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. It seems to be about her. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. It seems to be that it's her ears, not Krishna's ears. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance, and her tongue hankers for the nectar of his soft lips. She hangs down her lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense. But she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. Yes, she has these desires. These desires to embrace Krishna, since she has that relationship of a lover with Krishna. But her ultimate aim is not her satisfaction, it's Krishna's satisfaction. Her aim is to give pleasure to Krishna. That is her entire mood. Sometimes I'm remembering how one day a beautiful golden chariot came to Vrindavan. It was Akrura, that messenger of Kamsa. It was Akrura who came and who took away Krishna. Although Yasoda had told Nanda Maharaj, don't let him go, Nanda somehow rather naively agreed to let Krishna go with Kamsa. And then Krishna mounted the chariot. And we recall that the gopis came and grabbed, ultimately, the reins of the chariot, were trying to hold the chariot back. They were trying to block it. Remember. Why?
A question may be raised, why?
If Krishna wanted to go to Mathura, why didn't the gopis dance in front? Krishna is going to Mathura. We're all going to Mathura Kijai. We are the servants of the Lord, whatever his desire may be. Yes, he is the Lord. So, simply, we wish to fool his desire. His, even if Krishna has an inkling of desire, oh, we 100% try to fulfill it. And the gopis, they try to sabotage his desire.
Yes, can you imagine? It's time to go for your holidays. The car is all packed up, everything. You're getting in the car, and then some girls from the neighborhood, they come and puncture the tires. Huh? What would you say? Why didn't they just, with great pleasure, see Krishna go to Mathura? Why?
I mumble, 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 jumble. Yes, because the gopis understood that it may be Krishna's desire to go to Mathura, but it is a sign of madness. He has lost it. What to do? He doesn't know what is good for him. He doesn't understand that he cannot be happy in Mathura. He doesn't understand that there is no place in the world that can satisfy him other than Vrindavan. He doesn't understand that only Vrindavan is the place where his desires can be completely fulfilled. Therefore, the gopis were not pleased that Krishna wanted to leave, therefore they couldn't tolerate it. It was for Krishna's pleasure, not for their own. So it is very complex to understand the depth of their spiritual emotions. Difficult. Very difficult. Again and again, we scratch our head and try to understand. Lord Brahma is a great devotee of the Lord. It is mentioned in the Brihadvamana Purana that Lord Brahma performed austerities for 60,000 years. During these 60,000 years, he simply tried to understand one thing: the dust at the lotus feet of the gopis. But in 60,000 years, he could still not understand. Therefore, Lord Brahma, it is said then, personally became a hill in Vrindavan. That hill is there, and that hill carries it is in the middle of the town of Varsana, and it carries the temple that is dedicated to Srimati Radharani. It is said that that hill has four peaks, because Lord Brahma has four heads. So he's trying to, in this way, serve the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. But Lord Brahma, although being the most intelligent of all living beings in the entire universe, and he has four heads, better than one, still he could not understand. So it is difficult to understand these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But we will try. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti Asmat. It is stated that Srimati Radharani is the Ladini Shakti. The Ladini Shakti is known as the pleasure potency. Krishna has different energies. He has what is known as his antaranga shakti, his internal energy. The internal energy is the energies that Krishna manifests in the spiritual world. Then he has his bahiranga shakti, his external energy. That's all this material energy. We leave that for what it is today. We are not interested. But this internal energy, this antaranga shakti,
is of interest to us. The internal potency is then divided in three potencies. Sandini Shakti, Samvit, and Ladini. Or the potency on which existence rests. The quality of that existence is Sat, eternal. Then Samvit Shakti, the energy on which knowledge rests, the knowledge potency. Chit, Satchit, you know. And the Ladini Shakti, Anand, the symptom of that pleasure potency is unlimited happiness, Anand. Thus the spiritual world has three qualities, Satchit, Anand. That Anand potency or Anand quality of happiness comes from this Ladini Shakti, this pleasure potency, which is devotional service. All devotional service is of that nature. And Srimati Radharani is the personification of that. So we too are involved with the Ladini Shakti when we are engaging in devotional service. And this potency is completely meant to please Krishna and nothing else. So Srimati Radharani, her only interest is to please Krishna. Srimati Radharani is being described as the energy of Krishna. And in one sense, because she is the energy of Krishna, she is part and parcel of Krishna. All Krishna's energies are part of Krishna. We see that in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said that Radha and Krishna appear as one. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gave a nice explanation of this oneness in a story called the Prema Samputa. This story, Prema Samputa, describes that one day while Radharani, along with her friends, was residing at home, that one day, in the courtyard of her house, a very unusual girl appeared. She just sat down in the courtyard and she was extremely effulgent. Her dress was so opulent that never had they seen such opulence in clothing. The girl was seated in the courtyard, and Srimati Radharani, she saw from her window that girl sitting there, and she said to one of the gopis, "Who is this girl that is here today? Who is with her effulgence lighting up the entire courtyard of the house? Who is this amazing personality?" So she sent one of the gopis to go and inquire who the girl was. But the girl would not say anything, not a word. So then Srimati Radharani, when she heard, no, she doesn't speak, she doesn't say anything. So then Srimati Radharani personally went there and she said, "My dear girl, it is so wonderful that you have come here. We are greatly honored to receive such an exalted personality like yourself. Are you a goddess?" And no reply. Nothing. So then Srimati Radharani said that, "But what is it? What is the cause of your great sadness? Why is it that you are so sad that you cannot speak? You may please reveal your mind. It relieves the heart if one feels sadness and one speaks to someone else about it. So please don't keep this sadness locked in your heart. Reveal it. You can speak. You can trust us." Like this, it continued for some time. But eventually, the girl did begin to speak, and she did reveal the sadness in her heart. And she said that the great sadness The great thing that disturbs me in my heart is that I cannot understand that when Krishna is so much has professed that his love is completely dedicated to you, Srimati Radharani. When Krishna has become completely captivated by you, then how could he leave you? How could he leave you? She said, this I cannot understand. This I can never understand, how Krishna can leave and how can he let these devotees live in this separation. That I cannot understand. She said, this is my sadness. So, this was very difficult because this girl was actually in this way piercing the heart of Srimati Radharani herself, because she was speaking about the most difficult thing in her entire life, that Krishna had left. That Krishna had left her. That she brought up the most painful point to Srimati Radharani. And then the girl said, yes, Krishna is cruel. Krishna is totally hard-hearted, she said. Then Srimati Radharani objected strongly and said, no, how can you speak like this? I will not tolerate such talks in my house. No. Then Srimati Radharani explained. She explained. And she said that actually Krishna and myself, we are like one soul. We are like one living being. We are like just two manifestations of one thing. Like a lamp with a wick that is split at the top. But actually, we are completely one. We are never separated. Never. He said, never ever are we for a moment separated. We have no separate interest. Our interest is completely the same. I'm always thinking of Krishna. Krishna is always thinking of me. There is no question of any separation between us. It doesn't exist, separation. And what appears to be separation is only external, and actually internally is no separation. So here in his Prema Samputa, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains something about the great mystery that exists in these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That viraha bhav, that mood of separation, which is described to be the topmost of all spiritual sentiments. It's totally bewildering the mind, because in this world, separation from one's beloved is not so appreciated. In the fairy tales, the princes and the princesses, they stop eating and almost die in separation. And only when they reunite, when they live happily ever after, is everything all right again. But in the spiritual world, eternally, again and again, there is between Radha and Krishna this meeting and this separation. It is bewildering the mind. The relationship between Radha and Krishna, a conjugal relationship, a relationship of lover and beloved, is different than the marital relationship that Krishna has with his queens in Dwarka. In the relationship with the queens in Dwarka, that relationship of being married is described as swakya. And in that swakya ras, in the relationship that exists there, the queens are very attached to Krishna, and Krishna is actually quite detached. But it cannot compare to the relationship that exists between Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. Do you know why Krishna has 16,108 queens? Do you know why? Why? It is said, yes, that Krishna simply has 16,108 queens because he has 16,108 gopis to remind him of the gopis. That when he has to go and be in separation from Vrindavan, then at least he must have 16,108 queens so that he can remember his 16,108 gopis. He is totally not attached to these queens. He's always thinking of the gopis in Vrindavan. This is explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Sanatana Goswami. So in this way we're getting different insights in the whole situation. Krishna is totally attached to the gopis of Vrindavan, and of them especially Srimati Radharani. And then it is explained that that relationship is swakya. It is the relationship of a paramour. It is not the relationship in marriage. It is a socially impossible relationship. A paramour, a forbidden relationship. These gopis are married, and yet they are having a relationship with someone else. I mean, this is the most unacceptable thing. Even in Australia, it's not so acceptable, although a little acceptable. But in the Vedic culture, this is totally, totally unacceptable. Totally. And if it will not be allowed, and even the possibility of it will not be allowed. Simply, boys and girls are not mixing. And a married girl, a married young girl is watched. She's not left alone. Thus, parakya ras, the forbidden relationship, with only stolen moments, only stolen moments of meeting. Otherwise, Srimati Radharani was in separation. Otherwise, there was no question of just meeting Krishna so easily. Not at all. Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda is saying that when Nanda Maharaj saw how in the evening big dark black clouds were packing together in the sky and Krishna still had not come home, he said to Srimati Radharani, who happened to be there and had been assisting with cooking, he said to her, "If you see Krishna, please tell him to come home." Immediately within her heart, hope blossomed, because for a moment there was authorization. For a moment it was allowed. It was allowed. Nanda Maharaj had said, "If you see Krishna, please tell him it meant." Now there was an opportunity. A little window of opportunity had been created. She had been waiting for this opportunity for so long. And now Nanda Maharaj, in his anxiety about Krishna, that Krishna was still not home and that there were dark clouds in the sky and that it was going to pour down, and was getting worried and wanted Krishna to come home quickly. Nanda Maharaj thoughtlessly had said to Radha, "If you see Krishna, please tell him to come home." Not knowing anything about this hidden relationship, but now offering Srimati Radharani the perfect excuse to go out into the forest and look for Krishna and say, "Well, Nanda Maharaj asked me to." In this way, parakya ras, stolen moments of of meeting. Otherwise, separation.
Of course,
such stolen moments are there in every day and every night. They would take every opportunity.
Undoubtedly.
Sriman Rasa Rasaram B. It is said that Krishna is the initiator of the Rasa dance.
Vamsivat Tatastitaha.
He was at Vamsivat, and there he played his flute.
Karsan Venu Swaner Gopir.
With his flute, he attracted the gopis. That is the business of Krishna. So Krishna certainly is trying to attract these gopis, and it's not only that the gopis were trying to meet Krishna. Krishna made many arrangements to meet them and to meet Srimati Radharani. So like this, there is an intimate exchange which is constantly playing in the background in Vrindavan. In Srila Prabhupada's house in Vrindavan, there are a few paintings. In the last few years you didn't see them because they were being restored, but they have just been put back now. So now you can see them. They have been restored and now they are back. And above Srila Prabhupada is the painting of of Radha Govinda. Divyat Vrindaranya Kalpadrumada Srimad Ratnagara Simasanastu. It is explained that Srila Radha Govinda Devo, that Srila Radha Govinda are seated on a golden throne. So we see that painting hanging above Prabhupada's head, while above his seating place. There we see Radha and Krishna seated under a desire tree in Vrindavan. Then off to the side in his room, we see a painting of Krishna and Balaram. Oh, that must be another rasa. That must be then maybe Sakya Ras, maybe Cowherd Boys. No. Look careful at the painting. All right, we look a little more careful. Krishna and Balaram coming home from the forest. All right, very nice. Look more careful. All right. Well, there are cows, many cows. Yes. What else? What else do you see? Parrots. Parrots are there. Yes. What else do you see? A gilari, a squirrel with the three lines on the back. Yes, we see a squirrel. What else we see? Monkeys, of course, must be. Vrindavan, they are there. Is there anything more? Yes, what else you see? Chiriya, birds also flying, yes, more. Then, that's it. Of course not, it's Vrindavan. Then, flock! You must also see. They are there. Everything is there. All the various animals of Vrindavan are present. Is that all? Is that all? No. That is not all. Please turn it off. Or else I will confiscate it. Mercilessly. Then, more is there. We also see, at the edge of the village, we see Mother Yasoda. And behind the columns, if you look in the background, behind the columns of the houses, it's way in the background, only small, you see the gopis. Look again at the painting. Look at Krishna and Balaram. Look at them. Look at Krishna. Carefully now, what you see. A flute, very good. What else? Peacock feather, very good. What else? Yellow dhoti. Anything else? What you're seeing? Yes. You see Krishna's eyes. Yes. And very good. Lotus eyes. Perfect. And where are they directed? Yes. You understood. In the direction of those gopis who are hiding behind the columns. And just look from behind the columns. That is the painting. That painting in Srila Prabhupada's house shows Akila Rasamrita Murti. It shows Krishna, who is full of all rasas. And it shows exactly his mood and how he relates to all the living beings in Vrindavan. And how, in particular, his attention is always drawn to Srimati Radharani. But it is forbidden. He's looking from the corner of his eyes. It's parakya ras. It's not open. He cannot openly meet and associate with her. That is not possible. That is not possible. So all this is there. This is confidential information. This festival, Radhastami, it's our festival. It is an in-house festival. It is a festival where we are celebrating amongst each other. We did not rent a huge big hall. We did not invite the whole city of Melbourne to tell them all these things. If they would be here, we would maybe speak on a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Thinking of one that could be appropriate for Radhastami, I might have spoken on Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto Majaji Mam Namaskuru Mameva Jaisi Satyam Te Mukti Jana Priyusi Me. I might have spoken about that one who is bowing down before the Lord, whose mind is always fixed on the Lord, that such a devotee becomes the dearmost devotee of the Lord. And then I might have said, and that is Srimati Radharani, that I would have said on that public lecture. I would have never told them all these things. And you will also not tell them all these things. Because these things are private. It is forbidden. It is forbidden to discuss these intimate things publicly. It is only meant for those who are servants of the Lord. These discussions are meant for those who are the servants of the Lord, who say, yes, yes, I will serve Krishna. This, I will chant the name of the Lord. I will follow principles of purity for the Supreme Lord. Only for those. Maybe there's an imposter here present amongst us. And we hope that Krishna will block his ears. Or her ears. Who knows? But today we are remembering Srimati Radharani for this this way. We try to understand a little bit a glimpse of this nature of the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Krishna, it says, natasya karyam karanam savijate, which means that Krishna doesn't have to work. It's not what's Krishna's job? Does he have any? No, he doesn't. Right? He just plays around. Yes, that's what he does. Even when he herds the cows, it's not a job, because he just plays on his flute and all the cows come. So that's quite easy. It's not that he has to go and run around all the forest to find all these calves and cows. Sometimes he goes looking for one, but that's also to arrange for his pastime. So Krishna is always absorbed in his pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world. He doesn't have to work. And when it comes to the creation, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya jakshena prakate suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kuntiya jagat viparivartate. He is the director of everything that goes on in this material world. But not personally. Forget it. That, he doesn't do personally. He does that through his extension. Lord Vishnu, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Yes, you've heard of Narayan? I think maybe you have. So Lord Narayan is the expansion of Krishna. You see, some people think, well, Krishna is the avatar of Narayan. He manifests himself to perform special pastimes. They have not understood. They don't know. This is a secret. There is Rajavijam Rajaguyam. There is Guyam. There is this hidden knowledge. It's not that this knowledge is so available to everyone and anyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach the intimate knowledge, which the general masses don't know. They go, Narayan, Narayan, and they want Ashirvad, Ashirvad, Ashirvad. They want blessings. You give Ashirvad, Narayan, Narayan, Ashirvad, Ashirvad. And then you think, very good. If you know that much, then you're doing good. Yes. Millions, more than a billion pious people in the world, they all want Ashirvad. Blessings. But we want, what are the blessings? Prabhupada said, what blessings do we want? The blessings are not, give me health, give me wealth, give me all this, own life, all this. No. The blessings are, please, give me service. Only devotional service. So this is our prayer on this day. We pray for devotional service. We are remembering Srimati Radharani. We remember her. We can spend lots of time thinking about different stories and so on. And that is very nice. For example, once Srimati Radharani was in the forest, and that day there were no peacocks. So she says, what's going on? Why are there no peacocks? This forest is not satisfying because there are no peacocks in this forest. So then, to fulfill her prayer, Krishna appeared dressed like a peacock and started to dance like a peacock. That place is also still there. We can visit. So in this way, so many pastimes have been performed by Radha and Krishna. And it said these pastimes are like ornaments that decorate the love that exists between Radha and Krishna. One famous pastime, of course, is the pastime that took place when, after Krishna had killed the bull Aristasura, Srimati Radharani said, you are most sinful. You have performed a great sin. Go Hajja. You have killed a bull. You have killed a cow. A cow killer. I cannot speak to you. I cannot be seen by you. I cannot be touched by you. You cannot even come near me. Your shadow is so sinful that it cannot even touch me. So Krishna was a little shocked. He said, no, what can I do? What can I do? Please. She said, you'll have to first, before you can come back, you will have to visit all the holy places, take bath in all the holy waters. You will have to undergo a great atonement. So Krishna was thinking, this is going to take a long time. If I have to go all over India, visit all these places, too much time. So Krishna then arranged it that with his heel, he made a hole in the ground, and in that hole, he called all the holy waters, and all the deities of the holy waters appeared there and entered into it, and then filled with water, and then Krishna took his bath there and said, so, okay, pure, everything pure. So, job done. He said, to say it in Australian way, all right, job done. Yeah, no worries, what's next? That was easy. And then Srimati Radharani then was a little bit shocked that he had done it so quickly. And then Krishna said, but actually I cannot associate with you because you are contaminated. Because you have protected a demon. Because Arista was not at all a bull. He was actually a demon. He just took the disguise of a bull, but he was not really a bull. So you have been protecting a demon. So you are actually contaminated for protecting a demon, and I cannot associate with you. And you will have to take your bath in all the holy places. And so on. And of course. So she agreed. She said, all right. And then she didn't have that power to just with her heel make a hole in the ground. And this is the part of the story that I like the most, you know, is that Srimati Radharani, instead of making a hole in the ground with mystic power like Krishna did it, The way she called all her gopi friends, and they all broke their bangles, and they scratched the ground with these bangles, and with hard labor, they dug a hole in the ground. It took a long, long time. And then, in order to bring the water of all the holy places, they started to make a human chain. And they were going to, with buckets, bring the water from all the different holy places. Human chain. So Krishna was looking at this, a human chain. This is going to take forever. This is not conducive. So Krishna then arranged it that all the deities of the waters that were in his pond were informed, and that through the super soul. And then all these personalities just suddenly appeared before Srimati Radharani. He said, no, please, 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 please don't take the trouble of bringing the water through this human chain. Just allow us to enter into the whole. Please, please, allow us to render this service. So then, a Vaishnava does not just render service, but one of the qualities of a Vaishnava is that he must also know how to accept service. Sometimes when a devotee wants to serve us, we say, oh, no, 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 you cannot serve me. No, 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 you cannot serve me. No, 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 Prabhu, I am so fallen. No, no, you cannot serve me. No. We say like this. Yes. But, no. If a person insists, then it is also our service, our duty to please the Vaishnava. So if we insist, how can we refuse? You insist, how can I? Like this, so it's a reciprocation. So Srimati Radharani had to accept it. So she accepted it. And this way, of course, Radhakund and Shyamakund came about. So I like it very much that the gopis had to do hard work, ultimately, and didn't have that mystic shakti that Krishna has. But they were ready for that. And that is our inspiration. We also... bhakti is not just a matter of a mood. It's not that we today, oh, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. It's not that. That is not actually how it works. You can try and go before Radha and try and cry some tears. And that's very nice. The real thing is service. And to work very hard in service. So this day, we are glorifying Radha and Krishna. We skipped breakfast. No prasadam. This was it. We send you home with an empty stomach. And you don't get anything today because it's fasting, because we are serving. We're simply spending our time trying to take more time to please the Lord. We're late, 10 to 10, but because we saved the time of breakfast, it's all right. Kirtan went long, it must go long on Radhastami. The lecture goes a little long, not too long. It's now been 40 minutes, not so bad. And it's coming to its end. But I just want to end with this point of service attitude. Let that be in the forefront of our mind. Let us see that in Srimati Radharani. Let us see that the gopis, they left home, they gave up everything. They knew that if they left home, that they would lose all their social prestige. They didn't care about prestige. They didn't care about material possession. They didn't care about their own comfort. They simply cared for Krishna. This complete selfless attitude, this 100% selfless attitude of service, it is that what we are meditating on today. It is that what we are praying for, that we may attain it. It's so difficult. We are so selfish. It is so deep within us, selfishness. Some of us may be learned. Some of us may be experienced. Some of us may have been around for a long time. Some of us may have been devotees for many births. Maybe. Birth after birth. But can we say that we are selfless? Can we say we are free from egoism? If we really look in our heart, can we say? Therefore we pray to Srimati Radharani that we too may come to this stage of selfless service, selfless devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. Ready to work hard. Hard. Hard work, I don't like. No, not like that. Yes, hard work. Yes,
hard.
For the pleasure of Krishna. Are we ready to do? Not so ready, little ready. So we are praying that we may become purified. Today, this day is filled with special mercy. The appearance day of a great personality carries the special mercy of that personality. And therefore today is not like any other day. Today is indeed a special opportunity to pray for the mercy. Now we may pray. But if along with our prayer goes some service as well, then maybe we'll attract the mercy even more. Because if you want mercy, it is through service. Through service that one can attract mercy. That is the one factor. It's that mercy is causeless. It comes without a cause. But service, seva, can attract that mercy. Thus, we are trying to also assist Srimati Radharani in doing whatever we can for the pleasure of Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Any question, any comment?
Yes,
ma'am. I was just
going
to say, Shyamakund is quite big. And if Lord Krishna has already created the Shyamakund, why couldn't the devotees take part in
it? How could they possibly take bath in Krishna's kund when Krishna was accusing them? When Krishna dared, when he had the nerve to question the purity of Srimati Radharani, they were told never, ever would they stick a toe in his kund. No way. They would rather dig their own kund, scrape it out from the ground and bring all the water with buckets than to take bath in the kund of that Krishna. No way. Anyway.
Just an idea to explore. Prabhupada is acknowledging anything he might have done, would always give the credit to his spiritual master. And he emphasized that relationship. He didn't emphasize his relationship necessarily with Krishna or with Radharani or in Vrindavan we find that when you greet people in Vrindavan and Prabhupada will say Hare Krishna, it's the Hare Krishna movement. If we go to Vrindavan, we'll find people they will say, Radhe, Radhe.
Radhe,
Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. Vrindavan, Ishvari, Radharani is the giver of the mercy in Vrindavan. And even in ISKCON, if something happens, we'll say it's Krishna's mercy. We won't say, it's Radharani's mercy. In the context of that, those kind of approaches or those kind of understandings, how do we understand those people's approach to devotional service and the way the Prabhupada taught us to approach devotional service? And how careful do we have to be in terms of that approach?
We have to be careful in all respects. We have to be careful with the rich bhasis also. That's why I'm careful in answering your question. Well, let's begin with Srila Prabhupada.
I'll tell you why I asked this question, Frank, because one person has been writing to me, and in a letter they say, you know, by the mercy of Radharani, this has happened, or by the mercy of Radharani, that's happened.
Yes.
I know within ISKCON that wouldn't be considered acceptable in some sense, right?
Yeah.
But in one sense, it is acceptable.
It is, but it is also not.
But how do we
look at that?
Look at that context.
Okay. Let's begin with that. I'm going to paraphrase everything. You will get it. But it is a. It was a long, you know, memory short. So, in very short, Aniruddha Prabhu spoke about Vrindavan, where there is a culture of directly approaching Srimati Radharani. He said people greet with Radhe Radhe. It's all the meditation is on the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and this is their daily preoccupation. And we see that Srila Prabhupada had a different mood. Srila Prabhupada wouldn't greet with Radhe Radhe. He taught us Hare Krishna. He would, in Vrindavan, greet back with Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was reserved about this, about remembering Radhe and Krishna. He would give all credit to his guru rather than to Srimati Radharani, by the mercy of my guru, like that. Yeah. So, why this attitude of Srila Prabhupada that is different and seems to almost, this is what I'm adding, it seems to almost spoil the fun. Yeah. Let's go to Vrindavan, Radhe, and now all this seems to be, Prabhupada didn't do that. Now what? Yes, there is a great risk that we will take the pastimes of Radha and Krishna a little cheap, and that somehow or other we compare them to ordinary loving affairs of this world. And because at this stage we start to compare the sentiments. Yes, I know what this what love is. I know. I've also had a broken heart. But our emotions in the material world are very shallow, very, very shallow compared to what we call love in this world. Love and all that. Violins and flowers, etc. It's nothing in comparison to the emotions of the spiritual world. The depth of our feelings is like, it's like a shallow pond compared to the unlimited depth of an ocean in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So therefore it's very difficult. So we must be careful that we don't bring it down to the mundane, Radharani, as if she is like an ordinary girl. Right. We must understand she is the supreme goddess of fortune. She is, her love is unlimited. Therefore our mood is prayerful, and we cannot act too intimate when we are not intimate. The six Goswamis, they were intimate. They were. Because they were on a level of pure devotion themselves. They could actually understand. Srila Prabhupada was intimate. Because he could understand these, what
Krishna praying means, what love of God means. We don't have any. We have love of self, and it's shallow and not deep. Love of money, and so on. What love do we have? Love for Australia.
A little bit Indian, the cricket.
Indian. Love for Indian cricket. Yes. What love do we have? It's very shallow. It's not very deep.
Yes.
That's hard to admit.
Some is my love. Very deep. I love my dog.
No, real love we're speaking about. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. It is always mixed with self-interest. Therefore, it said, in this world, what we think is love is only lust. Therefore, we understand that the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are reserved about these matters. They are reserved about these matters. They are not just immediately, openly, Radharani, this and Radharani ki jai and all that. No. They don't enter into that mood. They remain respectful. They say Srimati Radharani. Don't just say Radharani. Srimati Radharani. Yes. So that we offer respect. We approach Srimati Radharani as respectful so that we appreciate that this love of God, you can't just get it so quickly by reading or by hearing a story. You must actually really go through a process of devotional service, of purification, then you can get the depth of real love of God. So for now, therefore, the approach is respectful. Srimati Radharani. So we see that mood in Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And therefore they didn't so openly say, yes, Radharani's mercy. Although, as Aniruddha mentioned, in one sense, it's correct. Of course, there is Radharani's mercy. We are getting Radharani's mercy all throughout our spiritual life. Without it, we wouldn't be here even. Right. There's no doubt about it. We are getting it, but still, we are simply meditating on the immediate person that we are serving. Because as I said, we serve the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times removed. We serve our spiritual master. By serving our master, we can serve Radharani. And that's more difficult because our master is here and he's alive. And he says, no, I don't want this rice. I want something else. and we just gave that rice. And instead of spoiling our devotion, he says, no, I want chapatis. And we didn't cook chapatis. And then we have to quickly somehow or other cook chapatis. Yes. In other words, we have to serve a living guru so that we gradually can learn to serve. That we can learn to become surrendered servants. And not that we go directly to Radharani. I'm offering my rice to Radharani. Not like that. Yes. Dr. G.
What are you saying? Because Srila Prabhupada was approved by many people to save our Rasleela. Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not qualified to save our
Rasleela. Just see.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the internal meaning, and that statement was truthful. It wasn't just a statement of humility, but he was not qualified to speak to them. Yeah, because he didn't have that authorization. But if you don't have the authorization, you're not qualified to speak. So, because of course he was qualified to speak, but not to those people. Oh, yes, a big arm. How do we make a distinction even in service to the spiritual master, selfishness also comes in. How we do we make the distinction if we are actually doing the service for Krishna for our own pleasure? My spiritual master likes to say, it all comes out in the wash. That's one of his favorites. It all comes out in the wash. It is a fact. It all comes out in the wash. Don't worry. Krishna will make arrangements. If there is some selfishness in us, in the cause of devotional service, we'll get confronted with it. And it will come out. It will be purified. So it's not just that we are applying ourselves to a process. No, we are serving a person, Krishna. And he makes also arrangements for our purification. And then it's like, and all the time it happens, you know. Some selfish thought is there, and like, bang! Oh, the toe, right? That toe. Hit it again. Krishna has ways to sort of, just as we are getting proud, I did that really nicely, and the next moment, bang! That hurts. Oops. He didn't really want it that I took credit for this. So Krishna has ways. Therefore, our false pride will be purified by Krishna's arrangement.
Yes. I'm just thinking that mode of...
Is it long? Or
no, sure. That mode of humility, basically, was in Lord Chaitanya also. You know, the devotees were saying to him, you're such an advanced devotee, you know, you're crying tears of separation. And he said, well, if I was really advanced, then I actually wouldn't even be in this body, I'd be dead. You know, so...
Srimati Radharani says the same, right?
Yeah, but he can say, you know, I'm Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani.
No.
He hid it completely.
Sure,
And so, you know, that's that,
yeah.
Our mood, if you like.
Yeah.
Even Lord Chaitanya, who's so exalted, is so qualified, yet he himself didn't present himself.
Right. Yeah, Radharani also said, you know, like, if the fact that I'm still living proves that I have no love at all, since he has left, I should have died. And the very fact that I'm still living proves that I have no devotion at all. That's her level, her standard. And about sleeping, she said, since Krishna left, I haven't slept, because sleeping also makes me forget. Therefore, I've decided to stop sleeping. So she just stopped sleeping. So if anybody is really ready for big Ras Lila discussions, just prove it that you can stop sleeping. All right, we'll end now. Thank you very much. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Sri Sri Radhastami Maha Mahatsava ki jai.